This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Of course, as we talk about the nonsense that happens on college campuses, we have to always turn to our friend, Heather McDonald. Heather McDonald is a contributing editor of the City Journal. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And she's the author of the best-selling books, The Diversity Delusion, How Race and Gender Pandering Corrupt the University and Undermine Our Culture, and The War on... And she's also the author of The War on Cops. Heather McDonald, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Rich. I'm great.
You know, we've been talking a lot lately, and you've written something in the City Journal, which I think is great, drawing the line at last. A few university presidents have shown backbone and common sense against the hysterical demands of campus radicals.
Yes. Well, right there in Philadelphia, the University of Arts president, David Yeager, wrote an inspiring praise of free speech on college campuses in response to a shutdown of a lecture that Camille Paglia was giving. A student had pulled a fire alarm. The whole building had to evacuate, and Yeager just said, "We are not going to allow censorship on this campus, especially in the arts, where given the history of censorship of artists, we should be particularly sensitive to this." And at the University of Arizona in Tucson, there was a successful effort to drive two agents from Customs and Border Patrol off campus, hounding them as murderers and fascists and whatnot. And there, the president went even further, and more importantly, has backed the police, have arrested the students that were engaged in this harassment for disorderly conduct and interference with the educational institution. And the president there is looking into college sanctions. That's really what's key, Rich, because It's a good thing to speak up for free speech, but the students always get the last word if there are no disciplinary consequences for acting like thugs.
It's always amazed me, too, Heather, the fact that universities, which you would think college campuses would be where the First Amendment would thrive the most, speakers are canceled, speakers are uninvited, comedians are shut down, professors are targeted, and it's as if the First Amendment really is truly the biggest trigger to them.
Well, what's going on, Rich, what people have to understand is this is all being driven by the victim narrative that predominates on college campuses today, where you have a massive diversity bureaucracy and many of the faculty are dedicated to the proposition that their students are victims of racism and sexism. That is a complete lie. There's never been a more tolerant environment in human history, if you're one of history's traditionally marginalized groups, than a college campus. There are no bigots. And yet, the adults are teaching students a lie, to think of themselves as oppressed. And the idea that they're oppressed is what leads to these demands to shut down speakers that don't simply parrot that very orthodoxy. So my view, Rich, is we can talk about the value of the First Amendment all we want. It's not going to have a whole lot of effect as long as we do not at the same time challenge the victimology narrative and say that every college student today, no matter his race, his gender, his sex, it's the, you know, multiple 116 categories of gender preference, that he is the most privileged human being in human history.
Heather McDonald, your book, The Diversity Delusion, How Race and Gender Pandering Corrupt the University and Undermine Our Culture, was terrific. And I think a lot of what you reference in there about where all this begins at the university level, and up until your book was written, I think a lot of people thought, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Don't worry about it. It's just the way it's going to be. And then all of a sudden, people started pushing back. People started saying, that's enough. And now you have professors suing, saying that they were wrongfully terminated. You have presidents and college campuses drawing this line, as you mentioned in your latest piece on City Journal, drawing a line and saying, listen, we're not going to tolerate this stuff. For too long, they've allowed the students to essentially now hold the college hostage. And it's good to see that tide is beginning to turn.
Well, let's hope it continues. You know, there's also been, it's not just the students, it's also a lot of the faculty and the bureaucrats. So the institutional weight behind the victimology narrative grows by the day. I have a piece today in the Wall Street Journal about Yale's latest accretion to its grotesquely expensive and voluminous diversity bureaucracy, something that is completely unnecessary at Yale and every other campus. Again, there are no bigots. Everybody, the opportunities are open to all. So, you know, it's not just the students. The students, there's a codependent relationship between self-engrossed narcissistic students who act out little psychodramas of oppression before an appreciative audience of diversity deans and the deans themselves, who use these student tantrums to expand their own bureaucratic domain. It takes a lot of courage. I respect students who are able to stand up to the inevitable cries of racism and sexism when they say, you know, don't be ridiculous, you're not victims. But we definitely need more of them, and we certainly need more adults to say, I'm going to cultivate in students an adult appreciation of their current reality rather than cultivating in them a set of delusions that will encumber them for the rest of their lives.
And it was April 9th at the University of the Arts right here in Philadelphia where the famous professor Camille Paglia, who also, by the way, I think she would be described as a feminist, right? One of the feminist leaders of America, right?
Well, not only was she a feminist, the irony is she was protested in name of transgender rights. Her scholarship for decades has celebrated sexual and gender fluidity. She has been, you know, one of the leaders to sort of point out the androgynous qualities in a lot of literature and study what she claims is something that is up for grabs, really. On the other hand, she's also very realistic, and she has criticized what she calls, rightly, child abuse of early sex reassignment surgery for children that are absolutely incapable of making such momentous decisions about their lives going forward. But you have now a whole medical practice that is engaged in mutilating children's bodies because of that, and these students probably have not a clue what her scholarship represents. They tried to silence her and basically demand that the school fire her and that she be replaced by a queer professor of color.
Amazing, amazing. And then they pull the fire alarm and evacuate everybody into the streets.
Yeah, the middle of the night, you know, dark streets in the middle of downtown Philadelphia. The police have to come in, and the protest continues on the streets with people chanting Queer Lives Matter. Now, this was news to me because, of course, we all remember at the height of the Black Lives Matter insanity, you were a racist if you said all lives matter, but apparently the trans movement gets to appropriate the Black Lives Matter logo slogan for its own uses.
Well, Heather McDonald, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I would love to have you in Philadelphia for an event at some point very soon so we can sit down and chat more about this. I appreciate your great work, and I recommend that everybody read your books, The War on Cops and The Diversity Delusion, How Race and Gender Pandering Corrupt the University and Undermine Our Culture. Can't say enough great things about the Manhattan Institute as well. So thanks so much for making time today in Philadelphia, and we will certainly post a link to your latest pieces.
Well, thank you. It's an honor, Rich. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
We'll talk again soon.
CLE 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.